T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome into Pony and Mueller, a Roundtable Tuesday and a Tomlin Tuesday. The Tomlin Tuesday for the final time. Not because he's leaving or getting traded to the Raiders or
Mike
any
Munchak's
of that.
Riding in he on
just,
his horse.
He just won't talk again until we get close to draft time and people ask pointed questions about who they'll pick. And he'll dust off the Tomlinisms to avoid really saying too much. You don't want to show your hand.
No.
When you have the 20th pick.
Yes.
No, you know, when your draft plan might include taking a guard from a low-level Big Ten team and converting him to a center, you don't want people to have that inkling that you might do that.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Steelers analyst Arthur Motes is in studio with us.
Here I am again.
I like the energy already.
Here I am again. I got to be positive, Arthur. I can't.
It's 2:02 p.m. The show just started. Wait a minute. No, it's too happy right
Arthur,
now. I don't like this.
I'm already choosing violence for the second
yesterday,
straight day.
Hey,
but you know what? I like the consistency. Oh. That's my thing. You are very consistent.
Hey, yesterday you made it through the show without swearing, and you were nervous about that. You thought you were going to drop an F-bomb, and you came very close in the first segment. And the clip of you coming very close has gone viral, as it often does when Mulsey has a meltdown. The Mulsey meltdowns play big on Twitter.
What inspired the meltdown?
Roethlisberger, as per usual.
Specifically.
What do you think? His typical classic hot button topic.
His anger muse.
The one that is always
it was actually no, it
ready
was actually
to set
this.
Mulsey off.
It was actually this. Like the continued insistence in some corners that yes, while Matt Canada was horrible, Ben was somehow just a victim of all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Like no, he sucked too. Just say it with your chest.
Yeah.
That's what I want to hear people
but
say.
But sucked is just such a strong word.
But it's only strong when it's not appropriate. And I do feel at times when we're evaluating full body of work based on what we expect from Seven as well, because of what he has been able to accomplish throughout this time frame here, this would be
okay,
in the
sucky. Okay,
so
do you think
category.
That Mulsey was using that full context and nuance that you just did there?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yes!
That's what Chris Mueller is famous for. If you go watch that 2-minute video,
big
it is
nuance
just,
guy. Yes.
It is just packed to the brim with nuance, that video.
I'm a little bit offended here. I'm getting labeled a blunt instrument by my co-host
no,
here.
No,
to
no.
You,
I'm
him.
The opposite. Yeah.
No, I know. You're dapping me up. He's Mr. Oh, you're a hammer. I'm a scalpel. He's got his little sweater, his little quarter zip sweater on, and now
you
he thinks
see him?
He's,
he looks so distinguished in here. Just,
he's Andrew
wow.
Fancy Pants now.
Jeez.
Anyway.
Yeah, Jim Nantz said he was going to send me some quarter zips and still has not. And I'm nervous that he sent a care package that was for me and Pompiani just kept all of mine.
Ooh. Wait a minute. Jim Nantz said, yeah. Oh, from podcast days.
Yeah, Nantz said to Pomp and I'll send you guys some quarter zips, but I don't have any of his contact information. I only know him through Bob, and I think Bob just kept them all.
You and Bob wear the same size?
Because Nantz has his own line of quarter zips.
What is one of those quarter zips
I think
run
he
you?
Has... Interesting. Nantz has, outside of broadcasting, he has ventured off into wine and quarter zips.
Quarter zips.
Just
it's
basically,
a market for the quarter zip,
what
I guess,
are 60-year-old white men into?
Jeez.
Bingo. Jackpot.
Oh,
wine
so
and quarter zips.
How much do you think... So it's Vineyard Vines? Is the company that does the Nantz.
Oh,
Arthur.
Yeah, I've seen them before.
Right.
They give them out at all golf functions. Absolutely. Yeah.
Sure.
He's got that marker.
What do you
covered.
Think? I just want you to guess what the Jim Nantz quarter zip goes for. The
I think nice $120 bucks.
I'm going to say $75.
Pony is very close. Buck 15.
Oh, wow.
He's not
got
messing
around. The little pink whale.
Donnie, do you own any quarter zips?
The little pink whale is pretty cool, man.
You own any quarter zips, Donnie?
I do.
You do not strike me as a quarter zip man.
You're a guy that wears mesh shorts to work.
Yeah, well, the only one I have is from my brother-in-law and my sister. It was like their one of their like wedding gifts.
Do you like it? Did you wear it? Yeah. And you were like, wait a minute, maybe I can see myself in one of these more often.
Would you wear it out for like a date if a girl?
I mean, maybe.
Is that first date material, or is that like down the line we done went out a couple of times material?
I was going to say, yeah, I think it's down the line. Like, we've had a couple good dates. Now I can show you that I'm casual and relaxed. I love that the one color that pops up is called Sailor's Red. It can't just be red.
No, no, no.
This is the red. This is the red that a seafaring man would wear.
Yes, yes.
Would Mike Tomlin say, I'm optimistic about Matt Canada on Tuesday and fire him on Friday?
No. Well, you never say never, you know.
No, that maybe. I read his Canada answer, especially when
I'm
contrasted.
Optimistic about Matt Canada, but not optimistic enough to keep him. Psych, joke's on you. He's gone. I'm optimistic about the job he can do in college football next year.
He could go that route.
Holds up like a printout from LinkedIn that says, "Here's a bunch of jobs that are open in college."
I'm optimistic that Matt Canada is the right man for Baylor. Oh. No.
That would be. Can you imagine he did that and then the air horn? Bow,
bow, bow, bow. He started playing Whoop, There It Is.
But no, in all seriousness, though, man, like when you listen to Coach T and
he's back,
you know, he gives those type of responses. Yeah. I do think that he does allow himself out if he wanted to take that route, because we've seen at times where, for example, TJ Watt, is he injured? And we're like, well, we're watching him in this game. We know for a fact he's hurt. But then when he you know, talks about it and he responds to it, it's like, no, you know, nothing outside of the normal bumps and bruises associated with the job. And you're like,
right,
that's not normal bumps and bruises.
I feel like in that answer, if that's how he feels, that he's optimistic about Canada, that makes me feel like Tomlin believes that he was weighed down or bogged down by Roethlisberger and or the offensive line.
I would hope he means both, because as critical as I am of Ben, and we'll probably, you know, now we're at the end of the line for that, by the way. The line, I don't think I ever said, Pony, like, hey, the line is good. Do you ever remember me just putting it all on the quarterback? No, I said the line stunk. And it was a very, I said last night on the sports call, like, they did him wrong in some ways, saying, hey, yeah, come back for this 1 year. Don't worry, we'll fix all the other crap that sucked at the end of 2020. They did absolutely none of that. But, like, again, I'll go back to with Canada, and I gave him the benefit of the doubt for half the season, Arthur. I don't know how, even with those constraints, quarterback who can't move, so that's going to limit you. Line that can't block, so that's going to limit you. Right. I don't know how you can look at what his basic strategies seem to be and think, like, this guy is cut out for the job, unless, and this is going to what Pony said about being weighed down, unless you're Mike Tomlin, and since this guy is your subordinate, you actually know straight from his mouth, hey, I'm actually calling way different plays than I would because of all these things that are in place. That's the only way you could have optimism if you know he didn't actually run his offense.
Yeah, and I think with that, though, that is something that we have to rely on Coach Tom, because none of us are privy to that intimate details and stuff like that. But if that were to be the case, I don't think any of us would be surprised by that.
But I'm just reading between the lines of why he would have confidence in the guy.
But I think you can have confidence in the guy because of some of those things that Mosey said, but at the same time be optimistic or have a little bit more cautious optimism about him because of those factors. We know what Ben Roethlisberger was, why he was here. We know he's a very polarizing quarterback as well on this roster. So if you did not mesh with him, you don't think he knew about Todd Haley? So, yeah, you're going to feel handcuffed in some aspects.
More,
and if you're
more personality or physical
talents? I think
talents.
A little bit of both.
Okay.
Why not, though? Because with Todd Haley, we can talk all we want about his personality. For me personally, I never had an issue with his personality.
Right.
And we know what the on-field results were.
Yeah.
For multiple years, but we saw what it ended with, and that's him being let go.
Ben didn't, just to be fair, though, he didn't really butt heads with Arians or Fichtner. Mm-hmm. It was Haley, and now that's kind of being projected onto Canada, too, which is I get. I mean, you never saw the two interact with each other. The guy was up in the booth on game days.
I'm about to say, we would see how many times Ben stands on one end of the field, everybody else is on the other end.
I know. I've seen that a million times when I've been at games. I think Canada, like, okay, so this has to, what do the baseball nerds say? Small sample size alert. Like, let me get my nerd voice out for small sample size.
To be fair,
aren't
you kind of a baseball nerd?
Do I look like one?
A little bit.
I guess I'm wearing
a
quarter zip.
Sauntered right into that one.
It's a trap. I fell right into it. I saw the Matt Canada offense without being bogged down or weighed down by Big Ben one time this year, and it produced 16 points against the crappy Lions. And in terrible weather, their game plan was, let's have them throw it 50 times.
Well, here's the worst part about that and why I'm glad you brought that specific example up. Because one of the, for whatever pro-Canada sentiment is out there that's not also tied to like some sort of anti-Ben sentiment,
yeah,
it's been tied up in this idea that, well, Mason Rudolph can execute his offense much better. Really? You watched that guy do that. I don't care what the weather was like. Mm-hmm. The guy was skipping throws there like he was expecting Raylor McLeod to play shortstop or something like that. Like, if that's the guy that is supposed to be much more cut out to run your offense, I have bad news about your offense. It sucks.
To an extent, I could definitely see that. But we also remember in that game, Mason did have them in position to win in overtime. And that wasn't his mistakes. That wasn't Canada's mistakes. Those were two players in terms of Deontay and Pat Freiermuth.
Yeah.
So we can't exclude that part when we bring up the negativity from that performance.
I mean, if those, but
it's about, it's against the Lions though. So how much
and they
do
score,
you?
And they score 19 points.
But I know I get that. But we also, this is the other part that's funny to me.
Okay.
In one vein, like you're bringing up right now, we're talking about this performance against the Lions, and we're holding it as a negative towards Canada. But in the same breath, you talk about how mediocre Mason or how Mason is an NFL quarterback and all these other things. So if you're Matt Canada, isn't the same argument that Ben is holding you back?
Could be.
Couldn't that be the exact same argument about Mason Rudolph?
Could
based
be.
On everything you just said and what you've been saying all year and what a lot of fans say about Mason Rudolph?
Yeah, I mean, externally, I think you're right. I think it's going to come down to some of the reporting that's been done about their own internal evaluation of Mason Rudolph. If they actually think he's a good quarterback, then it does reflect poorly on Canada.
But if they think he's not a good quarterback, then that's not an indictment on Canada.
It's,
so if you
it's
hear
not
Coach
a scarlet
Tomlin,
letter for him.
Right, and if you hear Coach Tomlin say, well, you know what? I think he's a guy. I think I believe in him. I'm excited about what he can do in the future. You might be feeling like that if the things that all of y'all have been saying
about
the court. Well,
you know what you always
say about
this, though.
Man.
You know what that's doing? Two words. You always say this. You're seeking comfort if you do it that way.
And that's fine. But at the same time, I don't think it's seeking comfort when you are acknowledging legit variables.
Yeah.
I think there is a difference in that.
And if they're saying their internal evaluation on Rudolph is actually negative, we've got some like evidence that from players sort of having slips of the tongue that might be the case. Mm-hmm. Hayward saying, well, we got a good scouting department as far as our next quarterback. Or Pony, who was it? Deontay, I think, right? Didn't even mention Rudolph. Who was the guy? There was another person besides Hayward.
I feel like the only person I heard mention Rudolph was Ben. When Ben was like,
vote
I think
confidence.
He deserves a shot as a franchise quarterback. Outside of Ben, I haven't heard anybody say that.
Deontay said yesterday, we'll see who they bring in.
That's right. He was noncommittal, and Hayward, in a throwaway sense,
I just think,
said it's going to be outside the guys that are here.
I get nervous that Canada is being kept around for one of two reasons that I both think are bad reasons to keep someone. The first one is, well, they don't fire coaches. They fire players with years left on their contracts.
Very true.
Okay, so if a player sucks in just 1 year, they don't care that there's 2 years left on the deal.
Dante Moncrief, come on, man.
Mark Barron, Morgan Burnett. I mean, they brought in
the beauty of the non-guaranteed contract.
Right. So they don't hold those players that are just, you know, blow up in your face free agent acquisitions to that same standard that evidently some say they hold coaches to. The other one, which I might even detest more, is Tomlin doesn't want to admit a mistake after 1 year.
Only when it's personal, or only when it's coaching staff
but
related,
I just,
not player related.
Well, it reflects bad on him if he keeps an offensive coordinator for only 1 year because he's telling everybody that he hired the wrong guy. Okay.
People make mistakes.
Right. So what?
Guys,
they
fired.
Tried it. It didn't work.
If anything,
let's move on.
If anything, the pride is more of an issue than making the mistake. I don't mind you making a mistake. At least go out there and shoot another one. Right.
Don't compound it
with your pride. And now you feel like I got to keep this guy on board longer.
Which goes to something else. Like, you say that, Pony, and I think that's very plausible in this particular case. If Adrian Clem doesn't want to leave for college, I'm still not positive Adrian Clem gets shown the door after 1 year.
No, you bring up a very good point.
Filippaldo didn't think so. We asked him, and he goes, I was given no indication that there was any kind of disappointment internally with the Steelers and the job he did this year.
Mike Tomlin's got to stop being so in love, and he has been unbelievable as far as, like, overall record. He's starting to get with, and this is in concert, I say this, with their lack of playoff success. Yeah. He's starting to get a little too in love with the smell of his own farts here with some of these decisions
he's
making.
Maybe he should jar him and sell him like that girl who made all that money.
Seriously, no, it's a market, right?
I do think like it's a very tough thing. We lauded Belichick for this, I want to say, last week. The guy is willing to admit mistakes quickly despite having had an unimaginable level of success. And as much as I think he's kind of a standoffish jerk, I respect that he doesn't have such an ego that he just stays with things that don't work.
And I'm actually glad he stayed with some of the things that didn't work on Saturday night. I appreciate Belichick for that. That was yes. really nice to see.
Yes.
Were you there with your shirt off too? Like,
I considered it, but you know, I knew Sunday we had another big game, so I had to be a little more reserved. Yes.
Man, watching this is not to throw a shot at Roethlisberger. It's more to say, no.
Has he ever prefaced a comment like
you
that?
You know where this is going.
This isn't to destroy
you
Roethlisberger.
You know where this is going.
20 seconds go by, and he's shoveling as much dirt as possible.
That's why I'm laughing right now, because I already know
where
he's about to go with
it. All you're doing is delaying the inevitable then. No, but in all seriousness, we know that probably since the elbow injury for sure, but even before that, when he was more of a stand-in-the-pocket guy, even in 18, when the numbers still, the counting numbers were good, right? Really, like, some of them were really good.
Yeah.
When you watched Allen play, when you watched Mahomes play, Allen especially, just because of who he did it to, man, and Burrow, it more, not about Roethlisberger, because now that's in the past. Moving forward, oh, my God, do you have to find a dude. Like, we talked about Derek Carr and some of these other sort of mid to upper mid-level guys that are possibly going to be available. It almost feels fruitless to even go with that because, like,
it's different.
There's about five or six aliens at the position right now, and it feels like if you don't have one of those, you are in deep doo-doo.
You say that?
Yes. Go ahead. I think I'm going to be with you.
I was just going to say this, though. Do you think Kyle Shanahan's a really good offensive coach?
Yes.
I think he's 36-18 when Garoppolo starts. Garoppolo is not a great quarterback. So the idea that the person that puts the offense together is either irrelevant or is some kind of like tertiary figure or background singer, I don't necessarily agree with you. I mean, is the simplest way to do it to find Patrick Mahomes? Of course it is.
But you also had Patrick Mahomes paired with who?
You have to
Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy.
Right.
So it's like in both
and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce.
Absolutely. So you have to have the personnel. We know that part is number one. But you do have to have that architect, that orchestrator behind the scenes. And like you said, certain places they have that. We have had that in the past, but we currently
semi counterpoint to both of you.
Yeah.
Fair point, and he made it to the Super Bowl. And if Jimmy makes one play, he wins the Super Bowl and beats Mahomes with that team. But look at your margin for error. That's the thing I would bring up.
That's the big difference. But that's why when we talk about finding franchise quarterbacks, why it's such a premium on them, because we know it's legit probably five guys that we would sit here, and if we had to put our lives on being franchise quarterbacks, only five of them. But when we talk about those same five teams, they're not always in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Some of these guys haven't even
and
won
there are
Super Bowls.
They're all still playing this year now.
And I get that part. But we understand that it's multiple ways to win championships. You can go the route of having the elite quarterback and guys around him. You can go the route of having the rookie quarterback with superstars around him. Or you can go the route of having a mid-tier quarterback with guys around him like San Fran did with Jimmy G. And you can still be in those positions. But like you said, the margin just becomes a little bit more difficult with some of those pieces not being available.
One more point that always makes me think about the Allen, the alien type guys at that position, Mahomes. We're talking about how the play caller is very important. Mm-hmm. What did we just get done discussing? How the Steelers don't spend enough to get premium coaching in there and seem to be willing to stay with mediocre coaching.
That's why keeping Canada is so disheartening for me, because I think, especially with this team, with Tomlin as the head coach, the offensive coordinator is an even more important job because he has almost autonomy over the offense. Now, Tomlin's going to butt in and say, I want you to run the ball here or be aggressive or things like that. But from like a putting the offense together, it's pretty much on him.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're the only cook in that kitchen, really.
And that's when you look at the teams that are left playing, okay, you either have Andy Reid, who's a head coach who functions as an offensive coordinator, even though they have someone with that title. Sean McVay, same thing with the Rams. Or you've got teams where the offensive coordinators have much better resumes than Canada. The dude up in Buffalo, Dable, worked for Belichick, has been an offensive coordinator a bunch of different places, went and worked for Saban. I mean, the guy has an extensive resume.
Won a national championship.
Right. He built an offense around the abilities of, yes, a really talented quarterback.
Who at the time, though, he was a project himself.
I mean, that's where I just look at this and I think, man, why are the Steelers settling? Why are they settling with this guy? Is there a chance he gets better next year? Sure, I guess. But I just, nothing in Matt Canada's qualifications or resume to this point make me do anything more than this, Arthur, hope. You can hope until you're blue in the face that he gets better. But I don't see a resume that shows me he's capable of that.
I'm with you. I look at hope. I put that in the same category as potential. Both of those get you fired. Because you just keep waiting on it. You keep saying that this guy's going to develop. You keep saying that this coordinator is going to, you know, the light bulb is going to hit. But you look down the line 2 years, 3 years, and you're in the same exact place. Yeah, I don't like any of the hope or the optimism part of it. I want to see results. And right now, that is where Canada has been lacking. But going back to what you said, though, in terms of you would just want to get the franchise quarterback, we all do. 32 teams want it. But my question to you is, how do you get him this year? Because you're not going to tell me it's a guy coming out in the draft.
No, next year. Next year's crop is better than this year, though.
Let's get to that.
That's the thing.
We'll talk about that too. We got a full show here. Arthur's here until 5. Donnie Football here until 6. Donnie Football is ecstatic because Chris went to Sam's Club before the show and bought him Cheez-Its in bulk.
Individually wrapped
Donnie
packages
is a
of Cheez-Its
guy.
That's a vet move. The individually wrapped ones, that's what I'm talking about.
I happen to think that Cheez-Its are a very lame snack.
You,
nothing
Donnie,
about them
you,
excite
my wife,
me.
And my kid all love Cheez-Its. My wife is obsessed with Cheez-Its.
Cheez-Its are phenomenal. You don't eat Cheez-Its?
I think Cheez-Its are what you give a toddler. You give them Cheerios, Goldfish, Cheez-Its. Like, that's a snack for
Goldfish
someone who lacks a refined taste.
You like Pub Mix.
Exactly.
Which I bought you a big tube of.
It has everything.
No, that sounds like you're lacking refined taste as well, man.
It's an exotic, eclectic mixed
Pub Mix. They basically just throw a certain kind of Pub Mix flavored dust on a bunch of different things and say, here, there's got to be something in this big jar of slop that you're going to like.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.